Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about, most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live long, and enjoy life even more, and that's what I attempt to bring to you on all of the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest I'm going to be talking to a little bit is Nani Crystal. Nani's got a bachelor's degree from Tulane University's School of Engineering. She's been an independent medical researcher. She's really done decades of research in looking at holistic, complementary, and conventional medicine. She's explored the whole notion of iodine and its impact on the body, and we're going to be talking to her about that in much more depth and as to how that can affect you as well in your life. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. This week, I want to talk about the ability of bugs to develop immunity to chemical pesticides and also to genetically modifications that take place. It's been generally thought that the process of insects evolving resistance to insecticides could take many generations. Since insects have very short generations, it could take a somewhat short period of time by our standards. However, in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the researchers have revealed that the bean bug, this is a bug that goes and attacks soybean crops, that it has the ability to break down and detoxify killer chemicals that come into its body, and it does it, catch this, instantly. What happens is the bean bug has a special organ in their guts that holds up to 100 million special microbes. They're called Burkholderia bacteria. These bacteria rise in number in fields treated with the insecticide phenotrothione, and the bugs subsequently eat them. The bacteria in their body acts as natural shield to the insecticide, so they're able to break down the chemical and it renders it harmless to the insects. Now, researchers thought that this Burkholderia bacteria were too rare to make much of an impact, but they found that in soils that have more and more chemicals on it, the number of this Burkholderia bacteria rose from pretty much undetectable to compromising more than 80% of the soil bacteria in that field, and this was just in 1 month. So the research has also noted that more than 90% of the bugs raised in the enriched soil established this Burkholderia bacteria in their own guts. That means by us putting pesticides on the soil, we're the ones who are actually increasing the impact of these bugs. So the process backfires on us because the insects evolve a resistance, and they end up being even stronger than ever. And so what do scientists and the chemical companies do? They try and make something that's an even stronger chemical, and then that gets defeated too. Same thing with genetic engineering of crops. There's one, for example, BT cotton, and it was designed to control the bollworm. But today, the insect has become resistant to this BT cotton genetic engineering. So again, same kind of result happens. We're creating these super bugs, super weeds. This is more and more reason why organic is such an important element to look at in our farming abilities. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a free monthly e-newsletter called The Teplitz Report. It's health, nutrition, wellness oriented. It tends to be different than what I talk about on this show. You can go to teplitz.com and you'll see the About Home button and you get a drop down. You can sign up there. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries, the latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about is CoQ10. This is one of the most popular supplements sold today, and people use it because they tend to notice an improvement in their energy levels. Well, there's CoQ10, but there's also something that's called umbiquinol, which is a reduced, even more electron-rich form of coenzyme Q10. What umbiquinol has is two extra electrons. What these two extra electrons mean, they can donate them into the body, and it becomes a very strong antioxidant in the body. It even is strong enough to help regenerate vitamin E and C in your body. All the research to date done on umbiquinol shows that the bioavailability is higher with umbiquinol when it's compared to CoQ10, and that it's far more effective than conventional CoQ10, which means you also need less to achieve the same results. As a matter of fact, the absorption rate has gone up so fast, you only need a third of the amount of umbiquinol compared to CoQ10. An interesting thing about the absorption of umbiquinol is it depends on your health. If you're healthy, you absorb less of it. If you're ill or you've got a chronic disease, your body will absorb much more. Now, you do need to take it with a meal or just take it with some peanut butter, olive oil, some kind of oil. And if you don't currently take Q10, take about 200 to 300 milligrams a day and divide it into two doses over the course of the day. After about 2 to 3 weeks, you can cut down to 100 milligrams a day. But if you are into chronic illness, you've got just feeling very poorly, just keep on a larger dose. One of the other benefits of umbiquinol is that it slows down the aging process. A study was done with mice and found that when the control mice were near death, the mice that had the umbiquinol supplement were literally running around the mice near death as if the umbiquinol mice were still teenage mice. And the only difference in their lifespan is they were taking umbiquinol. So go to your health food store, and that's where you can find umbiquinol to take for yourself. Before I bring on my guest, Noni Crystal, I'd like to talk to you about a book I've done called Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. It's been a long, slow going to get the economy where it's even just starting to come back. Lots of stress going on for folks. This is the book you need. It's full of techniques, tools, methods you can use to immediately take charge of those stresses you're experiencing. You can locate the book and order it at teplitz.com. You'll see the products button and you'll be able to go in there and order it. Or you can go to amazon.com as well. So my guest today is Noni Crystal. Noni got a bachelor's from Tulane University's School of Engineering, and then she spent 17 years in information technology consulting, half of which was spent in pharmaceutical-based medicine with Fortune 50 companies like IBM and Johnson & Johnson and Nestle. But her passion for the truth led her to research non-mainstream science for almost a decade, resulting in an upcoming book on creation mechanics and what she calls scalar waves, which we'll talk about a little bit later. She's now an independent medical researcher, and she's got decades of experience in holistic, complementary, and conventional medicine. She's been a frequent guest on national radio as an expert on iodine, radiation poisoning, and natural solutions for neutralizing radiations, especially since the Fukushima nuclear disaster and some others that we may not have even heard about. And she was the keynote main stage speaker for Total Health Show in 2010, and she talked about the thyroid, the true master gland behind immortality. So, Noni, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you.
So I want to start with, since that presentation you did, the thyroid, the true master gland behind immortality, can you talk for a minute about the thyroid gland and your view of its importance?
Sure. The thyroid is about 1.5 ounces. It's in the shape of a butterfly. The word thyroid means shield. It wraps around cervical vertebra 5, and according to Ertley and LeBlanc in 1953, it's actually the master gland, not the pituitary. And if you look at all of the different religions of the world, they talk about the importance of the thyroid as the bridge between heaven and earth. So it seems to me that we should find out what kind of food it likes to work, and it happens to be iodine.
Talk about what is the importance of iodine and how it impacts us.
Well, iodine is an element on the periodic table. But what most people don't know, and this is based on probably 12 years of research now on iodine on my part, iodine and oxygen are the only two elements on the periodic table in chemistry that induce positive apoptosis. Let's call it cell turnover, but it's not a cancerous cell turnover. Cancerous cell turnover is negative apoptosis. Positive apoptosis is, hey, you're an unhealthy cell, let's create a new one. And that is the premise of immortality. That is reversal of disease. And then once you get past all the disease, then you start reversing the wrinkles and the gray hair, which is the age. And once you've cracked that code, then really the biggest conspiracy on the planet is that we have to physically die, and we don't.
Now, iodine is in some salt, correct?
Well, actually, not really. Less than 20% of the salt is artificially iodized anymore, and you have in sea salt about 71 times less than the artificially iodized salt. So we're not going to get it from salt.
So the notion of just if you want iodine, go to salt, or if you eat some certain foods that have a high content, that's enough. You're saying that that's not enough for the body.
Oh,
really need
not. Absolutely not. We are bankrupt, and salt is not going to even put a dent in the deficiency, the worldwide deficiency. So we've got some serious problems that are going undetected because they changed the testing in 1973. So nobody's connecting the dots. They left the basal body temperature, which was a very accurate test. You know, how can you control patients and get them on thyroid medication for life if you can't corral them in to do your test? So that's how the basal body temperature test in 1973 switched to the blood test. And the reason why they're so inaccurate is because the thyroid and the adrenals produce thyroid hormone. And because, let's say, one thyroid hormone is thyroxine T4, 4 stands for 4 iodine atoms, but because you have group 7 of the periodic table, which fluorine, chlorine, bromine, iodine, the upper 3 have a lower molecular weight and they displace the iodine. So fluoridated water, chlorinated water, brominated non-organic vegetables with the pesticides, they all displace precious iodine.
Let's go back to a second, because our listeners may not know what a basal temperature test is in the first place, especially since it's not being done much anymore.
Basically, women test at a different time. You know, if they're still having menses, they test at a different time than men. Men can test any time. And it's just upon rising, you take the body temperature without too much movement. Too much movement, getting out of bed, dressed, and all that, it actually increases the metabolism, which disrupts the accuracy of the basal body temperature, which means the body temperature at rest. And if the temperature is below approximately 98.2, between 98.2 and 98.6, every degree below normal body temperature decreases white blood cell production by 556%. This is, you know, and we wonder why we're sick.
Yeah, it means, wow, that's quite a percentage.
So the doctors don't test the temperature. They do the blood test, and the blood test, did you create your thyroid hormone with, you know, is it T4 of iodine, T4 of fluoride, T4 of chlorine, T4 of bromine, or, by the way, T4 of I-131 from Fukushima? So you got halogen and radiation displacement. But, you know, back to your salt question, iodine does typically appear with sodium iodide, potassium iodide salts. You know, seaweed primarily is potassium iodide, but, you know, is your seaweed contaminated anymore, especially out of the Pacific? Well, I'm here to tell you that we've got three reactors out of Fukushima in confirmed meltdown. Last week, reactor 4 has sunk officially 31 inches, and there is not only a major report that speculates melt through the proverbial China syndrome, but I have a revered contact that was at the United Nations a couple of weeks ago, and the Japanese physicist confirmed to her silently that there was indeed melt through. So, you know, it's entering the groundwater in ways we never expected, because we never had this with Chernobyl. We never had China syndrome.
So with that happening, why does that spread worldwide?
Oh, yeah. The Academy of New York Sciences published a 360-plus page report called Chernobyl that you can download for free off of YouTube and, you know, the Internet. And basically 1 million people via a 5,000-article meta-review, 1 million people croaked. They died from Chernobyl. And that was only one reactor. Fukushima is so significantly off the charts genocidal, if you will, that the engineers are calling for a level 8 from the International Nuclear and Radiological Event Scale. The highest they go is 7. So both Fukushima and Chernobyl are 7, and all the engineers agree this is way past Chernobyl. Chernobyl is only one reactor. Fukushima is 6.
So within our bodies, what's going to be depleting the iodine from it?
Well, I just explained the halogen displacement. So whenever you have fluoridated water, whenever you have chlorinated, you know, white flour, chlorinated white sugar, even, you know, there's some sweeteners out there that release 3 chlorine atoms, you know, and they're artificial sweeteners. Then you've got bromine, which, by the way, I believe it was the EPA that just mandated mattress manufacturers had to 2.5 times the dose of bromine as a fire retardant on the mattresses. And they were complaining, not knowing that bromine quickly displaces the iodine in your body. They're complaining that it costs so much to put those chemicals in those mattresses. So much for that, you know, heavenly, peaceful sleep, you know, sleepful night, forget it with all the latest beds. So people really have to dig deep to get a non-brominated mattress, and you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping. So then you've got brominated iPods, brominated computers, brominated, the inside of cars are brominated. And let alone if you're not eating organic, you're getting bromine that way. So you've got the halogen displacement, and halogens are known as salts. So iodine technically is considered a halogen, which is a salt, and it's on group 7 of the periodic table, which means the column 7. And then you have natural iodine. The only stable isotope is I-127, but you're being hammered from Fukushima with I-131. And because they both have 7 electrons in the outer shell, that's what group 7 means, the I-131 can literally push the I-127 out. So you ask, what's depleting? We've got radiation displacement, we've got halogen displacement, and it's ubiquitous. So we need to saturate, you know, through the principle of competitive inhibition, we need to saturate. So all of this stuff about, oh, I only need a little bit, and don't take too much, it's quite the antithesis. I've been working with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who's a medical doctor, and he just published iodine, the universal and holistic supermineral, and he talks about large dosing is proper in order to combat the ubiquitous halogen and radiation displacement. And because iodine is such a heavy molecular weight, the basic scientific principle that the lower molecular weight wins in the receptor site, you better saturate so you can bombard it through competitive inhibition and get those unwanted halogens and unwanted radioactive isotopes out of the receptor site so you can create normal thyroid hormone. All of this has been masked in conventional and even alternative medicine because they do the blood tests.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back with my guest, Nani Crystal, in just a moment.
Have you attempted many weight loss programs and they haven't succeeded? What I want to talk to you about is a DVD by a friend of mine, Dr. Stephen Halpern. It's a subliminal music DVD that is called Listen and Lose Weight. I've known Stephen for many years. This DVD actually has subliminal messages underneath this gentle music that gives you messages about losing weight. I've been selling his DVD for 30 years, and I've had people come back and reporting losing 10 pounds, 25 pounds, 14 pounds without even changing their diet. You can learn about where to get that at my website, teplitz.com. You'll see the products button and you'll see subliminal music. You can go in there and get Listen and Lose Weight.
So my guest today is Nani Crystal. She is a Tulane University School of Engineering graduate, and she worked for 17 years in information technology consulting, with half of it spent in pharmaceutical-based medicine for Fortune 50 companies like IBM and Johnson & Johnson. And then she decided she needed to go a different direction. She had a real passion for truth, and she's been exploring and researching alternative and holistic and complementary approaches for decades now. She's been a frequent guest on national radio as an expert on iodine and radiation poisoning. And so, Nani, what I want to talk about now is this the kinds of iodine that's out there, and you also have an iodine product you've created. Is that correct?
Yes, I created it because I couldn't find one that was achieving the results I was looking for. I actually cured my chronic depression with iodine.
So if somebody has, like, low thyroid, what would you wind up doing to assist them, assuming that they went on medication first? What would you do to assist them?
Well, I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't really assist anyone. I'm just a formulator. But the different types of iodine, why different doctors are getting different results, that who even know about iodine, let alone saturation. The reason they're getting different results, so for example, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, he's a medical doctor. He's getting stellar results because he's saturating with an extremely bioavailable iodine. So let's look at the different iodines out there on the market. Well, the first iodine that ever came out was Lugol's, and it was cheap to make because they could use part potassium iodide and part elemental iodine, which is I2. And so basically it could dissolve in water. But the body doesn't use Ki to make thyroid hormone, and it doesn't use I2. It actually uses I-. So you're behind the eight ball if you're already low in energy, and thyroid needs iodine to give you energy. If you're already low in energy, the body will lyse or cut away the K from the I, or cut the I2 into two I-es just to get by. So it doesn't serve well for bioavailability. you need I minus, and that's what my formula has. But it's not just bioavailability, it's frequency. And so when we get into scalar energy, which is the highest frequency available to humans on this planet right now, it gets into a whole nother level of how the body will uptake it.
Nani, would you describe what scalar energy means a little bit more specifically? Because our listeners may not know that what that term is.
Well, to go on the internet and try to find an answer, you're not going to get the answer, really. I'm going to be writing a book on it because true bioscalar energy is not scalar weaponry. It's not the very restricted definition of quantum physics that it is a fifth-dimensional nonlinear wave. I will give it that there's only two types of waves on the planet. You've got Hertzian, which are, you know, transverse horizontal waves, and then you've got scalar, which are vertical waves. So you think vertical, but the difference between a quantum physics and, you know, scalar weaponry like HARP, okay, and true bioscalar is true bioscalar, as hokey as it sounds, is love. It actually penetrates the zero, at the zero infinity point, up to the first center point of creation, and down in a bidirectional area or a bidirectional flow through the body. Think of a column of light bidirectionally, and it meets at the zero infinity point of the body, which is called the thymus. The Native Indians referred to it as the monad, the ancient Hawaiians, the point of immortality. So it's really a tri-directional flow of energy. And if you take a cross-section of an angel scalar field, that's her halo. And technically, everybody has one. They just don't know that it exists. So scalar energy has been suppressed on the planet because if people knew about it, they'd be running their scalar field every day.
If somebody has hyper, another person has hypothyroid, one is high, one is low, is the intention with the iodine saturation to correct it either direction?
Absolutely, and that is the misnomer. Anybody with goiter, for some reason, it's never related to iodine deficiency. And it just makes me, I don't know, I just have to question all of it. In 1917 through 1922, Dr. David Marine proved that iodine reversed goiter. So they're trying to say, oh, there's goiter that's from iodine deficiency and there's goiter from something else. Well, I got news for the medical doctors. All goiter is iodine deficiency. So even natural doctors are telling their patients, oh, don't take iodine if you have Hashimoto's with a big old goiter. The reason they get scared is somewhat viable, but they don't understand quite how the body heals. The body, when you're healing, can actually get a little bit worse than before it gets better. This is documented in Herring's Law of Cure. This is documented with Herxheimer reactions. And because all goiter is the body's desperate attempt to expand the thyroid to trap any trace of iodine, what happens with Hashimoto's, which is hyper, heart palpitations, you know, people get scared because they get racier heart when they take maybe natural iodine, the goiter actually wants to expand even further. It's almost like the thyroid saying, are you kidding me? You're giving me exactly what I need? I'm going to expand so I can trap more. And if you push through that healing crisis, it actually shrinks back and disappears. So that has been documented, but it hasn't gotten out to the mainstream, and it certainly hasn't gotten out to the alternative doctors that are learning about hypo versus hyperthyroidism. The key is when you take the natural iodine, hopefully you're getting the best, and then when it expands, you slow down and stay off of it for a couple of days. You try it slowly again, and then it eventually shrinks back. So this happens over and over.
And what is this Herxheimer?
H-E-R-X-H-E-I-M-E-R. Herxheimer is whenever you put something good into your body and you have a bad reaction, it's actually Herxheimer because you're healing. But whenever you put something bad in your body and you have a bad reaction, that's truly poisoning you, killing you, you know, that's going the wrong way. So people, like, they took lobelia, for example, out of the physician's death reference. You know, oh, it's a poison. It used to be the antidote for an expectorant for the lungs. But they tried to say, look, she got really sick and started coughing up all this nasty stuff, so it must be poison. No. I mean, Paracelsus, the Renaissance physician, affirmatively said, everything's a poison. It's the dosage that kills. So look at the guy that died from hyponatremia in 2008 from drinking too much water. You know, so everything's a poison. It's the dosage that kills. That's how we treat everything. But I have yet to see any documentation of anybody that's croaked on natural iodine. Where's the documentation? So why is everybody so scared? I'm allergic to it. Not true. You know, not at least not pure formulas of iodine.
Hold on a second. So how do you tell if it's the good stuff that's going to then correct later on versus the bad stuff that it's going to get worse?
Well, anything with I-127 that is not contaminated with a big old long plastic molecule like you would find in organic iodide that is a contrast media for, you know, seeing if you have blockages in the heart. Oh, you're allergic to iodine. Well, there's one little eye and there's like 15 million other atoms that made this very, you know, not toxic molecule that you injected into my veins. How can you possibly tell me that I'm allergic to iodine? You know, it's ridiculous.
Does the big dose that you're talking about, does that vary from person to person? Is there a length of time that you're going to take
it? It absolutely does, and it's based on toxicity. If somebody's super toxic, they have to start slow. There's some people that can't even take a drop. They have to start with just applying it topically with a little castor oil and iodine on their throat because they're too toxic. They go into an immediate Herxheimer. We want to mitigate and try to eliminate, if possible, any Herxheimer reaction. But the key is, if you have a Herxheimer, the antidote is salt. If you put the salt on the tongue and you touch the tongue to the roof of the mouth, it closes the governor and conceptual vessels, closes the loop, the circuitry, and then the salt communicates Wi-Fi to the cells so you can start processing the toxins that the cells dumped. And also, when in doubt, you take a salt bath. So I sell some very powerful scalar salt that is kind of like an antidote to scalar products that might drive somebody who thinks more is better instead of less is more into a healing crisis. They have the salt. I always tell people, you know, salt is your best friend. In fact, there was a gentleman who's been researching magnetic scalar waves for, you know, decades. And he proved that salt drives the electromagnetic vortices of the DNA. So here we have 1984, a study that literally pulled the salt off the market. Stop taking salt. No salt. Low salt. It's all a lie. The word salary comes from salt. It used to be considered as equally as valuable as gold, for heaven's sake.
So if people want to learn more about this approach with iodine and more about what you're doing, where can they go?
Health-gems.com, which is H-E-A-L-T-H-gems, G-E-M-S.com, and they can give me a call at 321-615-7847.
Terrific. Thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you so much.
My guest next week is going to be Sean Seipler. Sean is the CEO and co-founder of Clean the World. It's an Orlando, Florida-based social enterprise. What Sean did is he was in a hotel room and said, I wonder what happens to the soap and the shampoo that I've just used for a little bit. Well, he went on to develop the organization that recycles all this soap, the bottled amenities that are in the rooms, and he's got over 1,600 hotel partners in North America that are helping to do this recycling and then supplying this to developing countries. And we're going to talk to him about this and how it can really and is really impacting the world positively. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.